Shri Bhakti Vedanta Ki Granthara Shiva Bhagavatam Ki Adidas Maharaj Ki Go pray, man. What did we discuss in the previous class? To do austerity so we get good children. How many lifetimes of austerity did you do to get Brinda as a daughter? Many lifetimes of tapasya. Any other points? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, and it describes the astrological configuration when Krishna appeared. So extremely auspicious. Extremely auspicious. Like all the planets are in there. Such strong positions. It's extremely powerful configuration when you look at Krishna's astrological chart. No, it's just it's the planets are in the correct signs. That's where it is. Each planet, when it goes into particular signs, becomes strong. And all the planets are in strong signs. Every single planet's in a strong sign, which is extremely rare. That means if someone's born at that time, they're very powerful. Any other point?
Even the moon, even though it was cut as we became a good moon. So, when Krishna took the birth, automatically all the planets became in the correct position.
Any other point?
We were saying about Nama Rupa Gunanila meditation, and that's when we were elaborating on the Rupa. And how Kuttubha Mani or Padma and Shankar Chakra in his speech from Lotus Tree.
Anything else? Should close this door though. Okay, so tonight we'll go from verses 15 to 31 and we'll continue to hear about the appearance of Lord Krishna. Chapter 3. And we'll begin with. So now we're hearing who is speaking at this point in time. These are prayers by Vasudeva at the moment. And then Devaki will offer prayers also. The Mahatattva, the total material energy, is undivided. The because of the material modes of nature, it appears to be separate. It appears to separate into earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Because of the living energy, Jiva Bhuta, these separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is already present. Therefore, the total material energy never actually enters the creation. Similarly, although you are perceived by our senses because of your presence, you cannot be perceived by the senses, nor experienced by the mind or words. Avan manasa gochara. With our senses, we can perceive some things, but not everything. For example, we can use our eyes to see, but not to taste. Consequently, you are beyond perception by the senses. Although in touch with the modes of material nature, you are unaffected by them. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, undivided supersoul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. You never entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you existed there already.
So this same understanding is explained by Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Maya tadam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina mat sthane sarva bhutane na chaham tesha avasthita. By me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable through gross material senses. It is said that Lord Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc. cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under the proper guidance, he is revealed. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilojnayana Santa Sadaiva Hrudayeshu Vilokayanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within oneself and outside oneself, if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. Thus, for people in general, he is not visible in the above mentioned verse from Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, it is said that although he is all pervading, everywhere present, he is not conceivable by the material senses. But actually, although we cannot see him, everything is resting in him. As discussed in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of these two different energies, the superior spiritual energy and the inferior material energy. Just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting in that energy. Yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such arguments, the Lord says, I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am alone. For example, a king heads a government, which is but the manifestation of king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on the king's power. But still, one cannot expect the king to be present in every department personally. That is a good example. Similarly, all the manifestations that we see and everything that exists both in this material world and in the spiritual world are resting on the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creation takes place by the diffusion of his different energies. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, he is everywhere present by his personal representation, the diffusion of his different energies. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. To eradicate the argument, Vasudeva said, "My dear Lord, it's not very wonderful that you have appeared within the womb of Devaki, for the creation was also made in that way. You are lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and while you are breathing, innumerable universes come into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Then again you expanded yourself as Shirodakshaya Vishnu and entered into the heart of all living entities and entered even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all pervading. You can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but a combination of the 5 gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created, but actually the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the 3 modes of material energy, but actually the 3 modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence and therefore everything is illuminated. We can understand from Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti or the Brahman effulgence emanates from the body of Supreme Lord. And from the body effulgence, all creation takes place. It is further stated in the Bhagavad Gita that Lord is the support for the Brahman effulgence. Originally, he is the root cause of everything, but persons who are less intelligent think that that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts material qualities. Such conclusions are not mature but are made by less intelligent.
What are the points there? Which means Krishna is everything, but he's also different from everything. So So this is being proven by Krishna throughout his pastimes that he is the all-pervading Lord, he is the supreme demigod, he is the cause of all causes, and yet he appears in a localized form before Vasudeva Devaki in the present. So he is the supreme Lord. There is no one superior to him. Now, as Prabhupada quotes from the Brahma Samhita, Premanjanas Charita Bhakti Vilochana. Unless one has the proper vision, then one cannot perceive Krishna as he is. So therefore, now Vasudeva Devaki, as we began to explain last night, they have the capacity or the adhika or the qualification to be able to see Krishna as he is. And this is only because of their bhakti. What type of bhakti they have, that will be discussed as the chapter unfolds. But the point is they are pure. And until you become pure in your bhakti or unalloyed, you cannot see Krishna as he is. He remains covered by the material energy. And you'll see even later on when we go further into the 10th canto, the demigods, even when they see Krishna or witness Krishna in his pastimes, it's like when he's doing the Rasa Leela with the gopis, they cannot see the gopis. The demigods can see Krishna, but they can't see the gopis because they don't have the adhikara, the vision to see. So Krishna is manifest. We go into the temple. The deity is no different from Krishna. If you're pure, you will see Krishna in his original form. But because we're not pure, then we still see the deity form of Krishna. So it is according to one's vision that one can perceive Krishna. One has to develop the proper qualification. Any points?
It says here that maybe in terms of the government, the king is not supposed to be present at this time. But in case of Krishna, I think
he's everywhere.
He's personally present at this time. He might not be.
He's even behind that curtain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and also standing there. So we have to have the eyes to see. One who considers his visible body, which is a product of the three modes of nature, to be independent of the soul, is unaware of the basis of existence, and therefore he is not, and therefore he is a rascal. Those who are learned have rejected his conclusion because one can understand through full discussion that with no basis in soul, the visible body and senses would be insubstantial. Nonetheless, although his conclusion has been rejected, a foolish person considers it a reality.
Because the principle of the soul, the body cannot be produced. So-called scientists applied in many ways to produce a living body in their chemical laboratory. But no one has been able to do it because unless the soul is present, the body cannot be prepared from material living. Since scientists are now enamored of theories about the chemical composition of the body, we have challenged many scientists to make even a small egg. The chemicals in eggs can be found very easily. There is a white substance and a yellow substance covered by a shell, and modern science would very easily be able to duplicate all this. But even if they were to prepare such an egg and put it in an incubator, this man-made chemical egg would not produce such a thing. The soul must be added because there is no question of a chemical combination. Those who think that life can exist without the soul have therefore been described here as a Buddha, who is a Buddha. Again, there are those who reject the body, regarding it as insubstantial. They are of the same category of fools. One can neither reject the body nor accept it as substantial. The substance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and both the body and the soul are energies of the Supreme Godhead. As described by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad.
Yeah, finish it.
Bhumin apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhi evacha அகங்கார வித்தியமே பின்ன பிரகத்தில் அந்ததம் அபாரீனம் இதயம் பிரகத்தி விதிமா பரம் ஜீவபூதம் மகாபாகோ ஏதம் தரியதே சிறம் earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and vortigo, all together these eight comprise of my separated material energy. But besides the inferior nature, the mighty Ahamsana, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of all living entities who are struggling with superior nature and are sustaining the universe. The body therefore has a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the soul does. Since both of them are energies of the Lord, neither of them is false, because they come from the Lord. One who does not know the secret of life is described as a Buddha. According to the Vedic injunction, Aidavmyam idam sarvam, sarvam kalayas idam brahman, everything is the supreme Brahman. Therefore, both the body and the soul are Brahman. Since matter and spirit emanate from Brahman, not knowing the conclusions of the Vedas, some people accept the material nature as substance and others accept the spirit soul as substance. But actually, Brahman is the substance. Brahman is the cause of all causes. The ingredients and the immediate cause of this manifested material world are Brahman. And we cannot make the ingredients of this world independent of Brahman. Furthermore, since the ingredients and the immediate cause of this material manifestation are Brahman, both of them are truth, satya. There is no validity to the expression Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. The world is not false. Jnanis reject this world and the foolish persons accept this world as reality. And in this way, they are both misguided. Although the body is not as important as the soul, we cannot say that it is false. Yet the body is temporary and only foolish materialistic persons who do not have full knowledge of the soul regard the temporary body as reality and engage in degrading this body. Both of these pitfalls, rejection of the body as false and acceptance of the body as all in all, can be avoided when one is fully situated in Krishna consciousness. If we regard this world as false, we fall into the category of asuras, who say that this world is unreal and with no foundation and no god control. Asatyam, apratishtam, jagat avur anishwaram. As described in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is the conclusion of the world.
What are the points here?
This is contrasting Advaita Vad and our Aditya Veda for both of them. So where was hearing the message where you were explaining there needs to be three things for someone to perceive an object, the medium through which it's perceived, and a substance who perceives it. So if you understand these three as separate and how it is perceived, then that is what we have in the Veda. And what Advaita Vad is saying is there is no substance, there is no object, but only the medium. So everything is the medium. So that's why that overall Brahman is coming. And here Prabhupada in the Prabhupada clearly explained that in his head. So there is nothing like repeating the Advaita Vad. The devotee does not see the material energy as false, but it is temporary. So it is part of Krishna's energy, and it becomes spiritual when it is used in Krishna's service. Vrinda? Hey, Vrinda. So
The material energy, when it is used in Krishna service, it becomes spiritual. Actually, it is a transformation of Brahman. Because you see, like on the first canto of the Bhagavatam, you'll see that there is Krishna is situated in Goloka Vrindavan. And then, emanating from there is the Vaikuntha planets. In between all the Vaikuntha planets is the Brahma Jyoti. And the Brahma Jyoti, it manifests into the Mahatattva, or the material energy. So, this material energy is a transformation of Brahman, a transformation of Krishna's energy. So it is not false, it is temporary. Because in the apara prakriti, or the material energy, everything becomes contaminated by the material modes of nature, which means it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Whereas in the spiritual world, the energy of this of Brahman, or the spiritual energy, everything in the spiritual world lasts consistently. Now, there's no deterioration. Whereas in the material world, everything becomes contaminated. So Prabhupada is making the point that life comes from life. It does not come from matter. It is not material. Matter cannot produce life. Only the soul's presence produces life. What makes the material energy animated? Otherwise, the material energy is dull and inanimate. But with the soul's presence, it becomes lifelike. So the material energy should be seen in its proper perspective. Because it is rejected falsely by some philosophers. They say that the material world is false. They reject it. Whereas we do not reject it, but we use it in Krishna's service. That is the correct understanding. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi Yukta Vairagya Uchite. If something can be used in Krishna's service, then we use it like that, and it will purify it. Any points? Any other points?
Let us say in this foolish that if they can't even prolong the life, somebody is dying, they can't even prolong the life of justice. And they think that this is made of cancer and they can produce a living person.
You're a doctor, so you are the authority.
I'm not the authority, but then I see this person dying.
Not even Gisprin can help.
But there's so many things to get with nothing.
Not even Gandhi. Oh my lord, learned Vedic scholars conclude that the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the entire cosmic manifestation are performed by you, who are free from endeavor, unaffected by the modes of material nature, and changeless in your spiritual situation. There are no contradictions in you. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. Because the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas, are under your control, everything takes place automatically.
As stated in the Veda, Natasya Taryam Karanam Chavrishyade, Nata Samas Chavya Vikas Chavrishyade, Parashya Kakti Vidaiva Suryade, Prabhavi Nana Bada Priyaja. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do and no one is found to be equal to or greater than him, for everything is done naturally and systematically by these multifarious energies. This is what the Upanishad responded. Creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all conducted personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Lakshena Prakriti Suryatya Acharacharam. Yet ultimately, the Lord does not need to do anything, and therefore, He is nirvikar, changeless. Because everything is done under his direction, he is called Srishtikarta, the master of creation. Similarly, he is the master of annihilation,
when a master sits in one place, while his servants work in different duties, whatever the servants are doing is ultimately an activity of the master, although he is doing nothing. Natashyatarayam karanam charvidhite. The Lord's potencies are so numerous that everything is nicely done. Therefore, he is naturally still and is not directly the doer of anything in this material world.
One of the points there. Anything else?
We hear it might not ruining or interfering any of the material activities in this material world, and he is doing his own pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. That doesn't mean that he is not having a control or he is not doing anything in that particular. Everything is under the control and nothing moves from his or without his will.
Same and different. So Krishna is known as Shaktiman, which means he is the possessor of unlimited potencies. Now you'll see in all of his pastimes, his potencies always personify. So he has unlimited power because he allows his potency to take control of certain situations. And it gives them the shakti, or the potency, to fulfill any of his desires. So, by his will, which means he has ichcha shakti, which is one of his principal potencies. Ichcha just means desire. So Krishna desires something, and from his desire, then comes kriya shakti. Kriya shakti means then the force potency, or the potency which feeling. Like begins to put things into motion. And then jnana shakti. Jnana shakti means he can know everything. Thinking, feeling, willing. Like that. So then he has the ability to do anything just through his potency, who will act on his behalf. So all of his potencies are personified, and by Krishna's grace, they have as much potency as Krishna invests in them. So in the spiritual world, you'll see in his pastimes, and we'll see this as we go through the 10th canto, that he allows Yogamaya to conduct his pastimes. And it says that even Krishna becomes wondrous at the potency of Yogamaya, his own potency, and how perfectly she arranges everything. So Krishna is the Shaktiman, which means the source of everything, all potencies. But the potencies have autonomy, or they have their own ability and free will to act on the Lord's behalf for his pleasure.
And then
Jnana Shakti.
What is Kriya Shakti?
Kriya means like force, or like when you say thinking, feeling, and willing.
Okay.
So thinking is like Jnana, Krishna is thinking. Kriya, each year is like the desire for everything to manifest. Just by his desire, everything becomes manifest. You know, jnana means his knowledge, that's how he knows everything. And ichcha shakti is like his will, like his desire to things.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that for his devotees, he actually yogakshemam personally actually cares for his devotees and reserves what they have and
anything else?
Krishna has got nothing to do. Basically, in Bhagavad Gita, he also mentions that he still does his activities because he wants to set an example, you know, so people people not follow the or not doing anything. Even though we basically the creator and all this activities are happening. And one sense is actually setting an example to it.
What is his example? What time does he get up in the morning?
What time does he go to sleep in the morning?
He gets up when the roosters crow.
That's where we have to get
My Lord, your form is transcendental to the three material modes, yet for the maintenance of the three worlds you assume the white color of Vishnu and goodness. The creation, which is surrounded by the quality of passion, you appear reddish. And at the end, when there is a need for annihilation, which is surrounded by ignorance, you appear blackish. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that Krishna is always transcendental. He is not affected by the modes of material nature. White is usually the symbol of goodness. So it says the Lord has a whitish form, Brahma has like a reddish form, Shiva has like a blackish form. And then Prabhupada comments through the purport that Krishna has a blackish form. So then that would denote or it would indicate that he's in the mode of ignorance, having a darkish form. But actually his form is transcendental, is personified bliss. So we cannot judge Krishna according to material calculation. Whatever color he chooses to appear in. It says in the different yugas, the yuga avatars, in Satyuga he has a whitish form, then he has a reddish form, then he has a blackish form, then he has a golden form. So it's regardless of which form he has or which color he has, he is always transcendental. And he's beyond the touch of the modes of material nature. So we should not see Krishna in that material way. That's one of the most important lessons we have to learn as we study the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. We should never see Krishna materially speaking. Any points? O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians, who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers, but who are factually demons. You must be killed. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public.
Lord Vanakul. Krishna appears in this world for two purposes. Uttaranaya Sadhula, Vinasaya Tarabhishthula. To protect the innocent, religious devotees of the Lord, and to annihilate all the uneducated, uncultured, cultured asuras who unnecessarily bark like dogs and fight among themselves for political power. It is said, Harikale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. The Hare Krishna movement is also an incarnation of Krishna in the form of the holy name, Namarupe. Every one of us who is actually affiliated with the Asuric rulers and politicians must welcome this incarnation of Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Then we will surely be protected from the harassment of Asuric rulers. At the present moment, these rulers are so powerful that by coup, they capture the highest post in government and harass countless numbers of people from the previous national security or from armaments. Then again, one Asura defeats another Asura. The public form is to suffer. Therefore, the entire world is in a precarious condition. And the only hope is that Hare Krishna movement. Lord Narasimha Deva appeared when Prahlada was excessively harassed by his Asuric father. Because of such Asuric fathers, that is the ruling politicians, it is very difficult to press forward the Hare Krishna movement. But because Krishna has now appeared in his holy name for his movements, we can hope that these Asuric fathers will be annihilated and the kingdom of God established all over the world. India world is now full of many Asuras in the deeds of politicians, gurus, sadhus, yogis, and incarnations. They are misleading the general public away from Krishna consciousness. can offer to benefit human society.
Thank you. Any points there? What do you mean? No, they pretend to be incarnations. They're not incarnations, but they pretend. You read in the pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Seven Goswamis. There's one, he's pretending to be an incarnation. He's a yogi. But then they say they're incarnations. It's just like Satchasai Baba, and you know, sometimes they say they're incarnations. They say these things. They're not actually. Any other point? So, Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna appears in the form of the Mahamantra. So the ISKCON movement, Krishna is incarnated in the ISKCON movement through the Mahamantra. So the more we are chanting the Mahamantra, the more Krishna will manifest within this movement. So the asuras will always give problems. And Prabhupada actually said, the bigger the asuras, the more powerful our preaching is becoming. As our preaching expands and becomes more powerful, the bigger the asuras will come. And they will give more difficulty to our movement. So the movement cannot be stopped by anything material, Prabhupada said that. He said nothing external will stop the movement, only internally. And we see over the years that's what happened. When Prabhupada left, the movement expanded greatly. Because everyone was young and very, because there's too much passion there, they weren't advanced enough spiritually. The movement spread, but then there were problems, and then it kind of retracted again, and now it's spreading again. So this will happen. So the asuras will always give problems, always give threats. The devotees will continue to preach. Prabhupada says, the caravan will pass, the dogs will bark, the caravan will pass. That's an English saying. We'll just continue. There'll always be harassment, there'll always be problems, but we just continue to preach. And we do not let our determination become wavered. We just preach and then continue. Any points?
Prabhupada said that Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not to be protected. Basically, it is very assuring. Obviously, in the beginning, it says Krishna comes for two purposes, the Parishrana and Tatna Vinasa Krishna. But there actually, you mentioned also, in one of the lectures I heard also, that Krishna actually comes to give Radhanuga Bhat Bhakti, and also he gives pleasure to the devotees. In fact, he's giving pleasure to us through the holy name, which is what is protecting us.
Yes. Okay. Oh my Lord, Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that you would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kamsa killed so many of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with weapons to kill you. I'll read the purport here as well. Chaitanya Lila?
Kamsa has here been described as Asavya, meaning insane as almost enemy, because he killed the many children of his sister. And he declared the prophecy that he would be killed by their eighth son, this uncivilized man, Kamsa, was immediately ready to kill his innocent sister on the occasion of her marriage. An uncivilized man can do anything for the satisfaction of his senses. He can kill children, he can kill cows, he can kill Brahmans, he can kill old men. He has no mercy to anyone. According to the very civilization, cows, women, children, old men, and Brahmans should be excused if they are at fault. God assures us and civilized men do not care about that. At the present moment, the killing of thousands, the killing of children is going on under strict penalty, and therefore this civilization is no adult human. And those who are conducting this condemned civilization are uncivilized as well. Such uncivilized men are not in favor of the Christian functional movement. As public officers, they declare without hesitation that the champion of the Christian movement is an unanswered. And the Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Satatam, Sitayanti, Mantya, Satatam, Vidal, Satatam. According to this verse, it is the duty of the Mahatma Krishna, the Krishna Mahatam, and try to spread it all over the world to the best of their ability. But unfortunately, society is in such an uncivilized state that there are so-called Mahatmas who are prepared to kill cows and children and stop the Hare Krishna movement. Such uncivilized activities were actually demonstrated in opposition to the Hare Krishna movement bombed by center Hare Krishna land. Santa was not expected to see the beautiful child of the Bhakti and Vasudev and civilized society and was unhappy about their advancement. The Krishna functional movement cannot be expected to stop it. Yet we must face many difficulties in many different ways. And Krishna cannot be killed. Vasudeva, as the father of Krishna, was planning because in his affection he thought that Santa would immediately come to his son. Similarly, as the Krishna functional movement and Krishna are no different and no asuras can check it, we are afraid that at any moment the asuras can stop this movement in any part of the world.
Any points? This is the secret of the Bhagavatam. You have to understand this, otherwise you won't understand the Bhagavatam. The whole secret of the Bhagavatam is this. So we see, Prabhupada is explaining that as long as you're in the material world, you must face difficulties. This is Krishna's parents, Vasudev and Devaki, but they're in the material world, so there are difficulties. You see, Prabhupada himself, who is also a Nitya Siddha, he's one of the eternal associates of Krishna. Even more elevated than Vasudeva Deviki, because he's an eternal resident of Vrindavan, one of Krishna's eternal associates. But even Prabhupada had to face so many difficulties when you come to the material world. That is the nature of the material energy. It is very challenging, it's very difficult. So you have to face those challenges and do whatever you need to do so that you can face those challenges. And then so you can continue to remain enthusiastic in your Krishna consciousness. In your preaching. So, at this point in time, as Prabhupada points out, we're surrounded by a demoniac culture. As we've discussed last night and this morning, the demons are becoming in control of the world. We're seeing now that, the US presidential election, this guy is running for the Republican Party, is it Asura? Demoniac consciousness, which is there. And these people could run the world. Already we have in North Korea, we have demoniac personalities. All around the world, there's demoniac personalities. So they will take control. And when they take control, they cause problems. And then it makes it difficult for the devotees to be peaceful and to practice Krishna consciousness. And we will continue to practice under any circumstances. But it is the nature of Kali Yuga in the material world. There will always be demoniac influence. Now Prabhupada says, or explains to us, that love means anxiety. If you have love for Krishna, there will be an anxiety. That is the nature of Krishna consciousness. There's always anxiety in Krishna service. And Prabhupada actually said, I think he said it here in Melbourne, that if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to go to the place where they're selling Krishna anxiety and buy as much as you can. So to spread this movement, it's anxiety. Every time you organize a kid's retreat or an adult's retreat or anything, any service you do for Krishna, there's anxiety involved. That is the nature of bhakti, of devotional service, running the restaurant or the preaching programs. Whatever you do, there's always anxiety in our devotional service. So this is how we show our love for Krishna, that we're willing to put up with that anxiety. Now, the Bhagavatam is showing us the most essential point. What is the most essential point? They know Krishna is God. Now this is it's a Mishra Bhakti. It's different to in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, there's not this like awareness. Krishna doesn't appear. You don't, because simultaneously he's appearing here in Mathura, but he's also appearing in Vrindavan simultaneously at exactly the same time. But while he's appearing in Vrindavan, there's no forearms and they're not offering prayers to him. All these things are not taking place. So it's a different type of bhakti. This is like a Jnana Mishra Bhakti, or they're aware of his Aishwarya, the Madhurya and the Aishwarya being mixed, whereas in Vrindavan it is pure Madhurya, whereas in Mathura there is a mixture. So they, even though they know he is God, I mean he's just appeared in front of them, he has four arms, they can see he is God, they've offered all the prayers saying he is God, but still because there is some mix, they have a feeling or a sentiment, Vatsalya Bhad, that he is their son. Deviki in particular is very fearful of Kamsa. He's just killed 6 children. So she's very fearful. So then she's saying, please, manifest as a child or hide or disappear. Don't stay in this form. Don't stay here in this place. So this is the whole essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That a devotee, when they have love for Krishna, they feel anxiety for Krishna. So we have to feel anxiety for the Lord. We have to feel attachment to the Lord. We have to feel love for the Lord. That is the emotion, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So this is what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. So in Vasudeva and Devaki, we're seeing pure devotees and how they have so much attachment for Krishna. Any points? Okay. Oh my Lord, Lord of the demigods. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Sri Devaki said, my dear Lord, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as unperceivable through words and the mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements, and by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes. Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge. So, this is the science of rasa. Prabhupada explains this in the purport. Now, the science of rasa is that they have this feeling that Krishna is their Lord. But there are different degrees of rasa. We Which means the acharyas, when you read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he explains that in Vrindavan the rasa hits its, or reaches its highest zenith, or its highest point, its limit. In Vrindavan, then you see the rasa going to its highest extension. Here, the rasa becomes somewhat subdued by the Muda Vaishwarya towards the Lord, because they have this mood that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it lessens the experience or the intensity of the bhakti. Whereas in Vrindavan, the bhakti goes to its highest degree. And you'll see in the different rasas, this we'll study this as we go through the 10th canto, from Dasya to Sakya to Vatsalya to Madhurya, you see the rasa becomes more intense. And then the Madhurya rasa, which we should study next year more, even this year there'll be something there, but next year it will become more apparent. You'll see in the Madhurya rasa when there is unlimited attachment to Krishna, and the rasa becomes the most intense. There's no interference with Aishwarya. In Vrindavan, all those rasas, all the Muda Vaishwarya becomes completely covered. Although Vrindavan is actually, technically, it is full of more rasa, more Aishwarya even than the other places, it is completely covered. In other words, the devotees do not respond to the Aishwarya. They just become completely absorbed in the Madhurya rasa. Or the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Any points? After millions of years, at the time of cosmic annihilation, when everything manifested and unmanifested is annihilated by the force of time, the five gross elements enter into the subtle conception, and the manifested categories enter into the unmanifested substance. At that time, you alone remain, and you are known as Ananta Sesha Naga. O inaugurator of the material energy, this wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time, which is divided into seconds, minutes, hours, and years. This element of time, which extends for many millions of years, is but another form of Lord Vishnu. For your pastimes, you act as the controller of time, but you are the reservoir of all good fortune. Let me offer my full surrender unto your lordship.
The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. I worship Govinda, the primary Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. Although we see the cosmic manifestation as gigantic and wonderful, it is within the limitations of God, the time factor, This time factor is also controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Maya Dakshina Prakriti Svete Sikharasya. Prakriti, the constant manifestation, is under the control of time. Indeed, everything is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has no fear of the onslaughts of time. Time is estimated according to the movements of the sun, so that every minute, every second, every day, every night, every month, and every year of time can be calculated according to the sun's movement. But the sun is not independent, for it is under time's control. Brahmati Samjata Kal Chakra. The sun moves within the Kal Chakra, the orbit of time. The sun is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord has no fear of time.
Oh, that's good. So, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, that Krishna is the controller of the time element. In the spiritual world, there is no time in the sense. Well, actually, there is time. But in the spiritual world, time does not have its debilitating effect. In other words, it does not destroy anything. As Krishna says in the Gita, in the material world, time is the great destroyer. Everything becomes dissolved by time. Whereas in the material world, in the spiritual world, time is there, and Krishna's Ashtakaliya Lila. Kaliya means color, means time. Krishna has an eightfold daily pastime which takes place in the spiritual world perpetually and continuously. But that time does not destroy everything. Everything just continues, and everything remains ever fresh. Whereas in the material world, whenever time has an effect on something, it just destroys everything gradually. So it's a different effect. So material time and spiritual time, they act completely differently. Although both are there. Material time is like a perverted reflection of spiritual time. Any points? That's what the 10th canto is telling us. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles, birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. And the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. So it explains in the verse that the living entities are fearful in the material world. So how do we overcome fear? We overcome fear when we understand that we are Krishna's servant. As long as we think we are the master or the enjoyer, Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi. As long as we think we are the master and the enjoyer in the material world, what takes place? We suffer. And we're always fearful. But as soon as you understand you're Krishna's servant, it destroys all the fear. Because you understand Krishna will protect me. He is my maintainer, he is my protector. So that is the perfect philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Govinda Das. My Lord, because you dispel all the fear of your devotees, I request you to save us and give us protection from the terrible fear of Kamsa. Your form as Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is appreciated by yogis in meditation. Please make this form invisible to those who see with material eyes. So this is the bhav of Devaki. The Bhagavatam is teaching us to have bhav. Bhav means emotional feelings towards Krishna. So she is feeling that fear of Kamsa, and she's feeling protective towards the Lord. That is Vatsalya Bhav. Even though on one level she understands that Krishna is supreme, but on another level she just wants to protect him, because he has just appeared as her son. So that is the feeling. So that is what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. We have to enter into these feelings. We have to enter into the mood of being Krishna's servant and not seeing him simply as the Lord, but as a son or a friend or a lover. So we have to develop these sentiments. That's what the 10th canto is teaching us. O Madhusudan, because of your appearance, I am becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. So she's completely selfless. What is the nature of her bhakti? Completely selfless. She's not thinking about herself, but she's only thinking of Krishna. And that is the essence of bhakti. We also have to learn to think like that. We become absorbed in our own lives, our own wants, our own desires, our own needs. But actually, Krishna consciousness means you just think of what Krishna wants. And that's what sannyas means. Sannyas means you just think what Krishna wants. Body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental four-arm form, holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child so that I may hide, so that I may try to hide you somewhere. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos, containing all created moving and non-moving entities, enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. So this is, Prabhupada points out in the purport, this is the difference between Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. In Vrindavan, Krishna, if you look at Dwarka, in Dwarka Krishna is perfect, in Mathura he is more perfect, and in Vrindavan he is most perfect. And that is because of the prema madhurya of his devotees. Because his devotees in Vrindavan, they just see him as the Lord, their son. They don't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he is just the son of Nanda Maharaj, he's the prince of Vrindavan, Rajendra Nandana. So they see him in this life, and because of that, they have an intimate relationship with him. Whereas in Mathura, there is more awe and reverence, as we're seeing here, and then you'll see later, in the third and fourth year that we study the 10th canto, you'll see when he goes to Dwarka, you'll see they see him in a more awe and reverential way. Even though he's a family member, even though he is the prince of the Yadav dynasty, is one of them, it's still, they cannot break the mood of Aishwarya. And Krishna shows many Aishwarya, many pastimes which are full of Aishwarya. In Vrindavan, he also shows pastimes full of Aishwarya, but they don't become overcome by that mood. You know, Bhagavatam,